Okay, today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Yud Beis. We left off on daf Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis. We are at Itmar on the first wide line of Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and by Menachem Geltach L'Zecher Nishmas, Menachem Mendel Ben Mordechai. We thank both of them very, very much for the sponsorship. So again, we're holding on daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and we are going to get into the sugya of Nat Bar Nat, one of the most fundamental sugyas in all of Hilchos Basa B'Challah and Yaradeya, Nat Bar Nat in Issur V'Heter. And then we're going to get into the issue of Davar Charif, another very fundamental sugya in Issur V'Heter, the idea that when something has a certain charif, or it has a certain sharpness to it, that it has the capacity to transfer tam in a way that regular foods do not have the capacity to transfer tam. And then the Gemara is going to talk about having two items next to each other, are we choshesh that one is going to land in the other? You have a salt dish and it's right next to some sort of milk product or meat product. Do we assume that that's going to make that salt dish fleshigor melchig? Then the Gemara is going to talk about bread that red meat juice was absorbed in. You took meat that was just roasted and all the juice got absorbed in the bread to the point that the bread is totally red from that meat juice. So to what extent do we assume that bread is asur because of the dam that's nivla in it? And then in Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about if you salt two items together, you do malicha and two items right next to each other, so do it in the same kli, what impact does one have on the other? So we're going to talk about a number of different combinations, different types of things. What if you have chicken together with fish? What if you have chicken together with chicken? Different items that may be salted together. So let's begin. Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis, first wide line, Itmar. Dagim sha'alu b'kara, you have fish that you've just roasted, and you put them, meaning boiling hot fish, you put it on a plate that you ate meat on that plate. And there's therefore tam basar that is balua in that plate. So Rav Amar Asula Achlam B'Kutach, Rav says you're not allowed to eat that fish together with a milchig dish, together with kutach, which is a type of milchig dip, it has milk in it. Ushmuel Amar Mutter Lachlam B'Kutach, Shmuel says, no, that fish is perfectly mutter to eat with milchigs. Rav Amar Asur, the reason Rav says that it's asur to eat it together with kutach is because nosin tamu, the basar gives tam into the dagim, so it turns out that this dagim has tam basar in it, so you can't eat that with milchigs. Ushmol amr mutter nosin tam bar nosin tamu. Shmuel says no, this is mutter because this isn't direct tam that went from the basar into the fish. The tam of the basar went into the plate, then the tam from the plate went into the fish. That is a secondary nosin tam, and that's not going to pose a problem when that subsequently mixes with milchig. So you can't taste the basar itself in the dagim because it was never actually cooked. The dagim was never actually cooked together with the meat. All you have is the little bit of tam that it got from the ka'ara that itself was only mekabel tam from the basar. That's a tam kalush. That's already a weakened tam. That's not considered basar anymore to the extent that it's going to be usher to eat with chalav. So that's the way Rashi understands our Gemara. Tosos and Medayik, that according to Rashi, only if it's nispashal with basar mamish is it going to be asur to eat with kutach. But if it's nispashal in a kli bisari, if you cook the fish in a flesha kli, then it's going to be mutter. That's also no saint tam bar no saint tam. I mean, it's not only on a flesha plate, but even if it's cooked in a flesha pot, that's considered not bar not. And there's no difference between putting something on a plate or cooking something in a pot. And that is against the Rivan, Rashi's son-in-law, where Tosfos quotes the Rivan that if it's in a special in a fleshig pot, then it's asur to eat that with kutach. That's going to be problematic to eat with kutach. So essentially, there are three shitos actually in Rishonim. The Rivan is the most machmir, that only alu is mutter, nisbashlu is going to be asur. And the reason for that chumrah of nisbashlu is because the dagim will be balei a much stronger tam basar when it's actually cooked in a fleshig pot than it would if it's just hot fish placed on a fleshig plate. Then you have the sheet of the Rush and many other Rishonim that alu and nisbashlu are mutter, but dagim that's roasted in a ka'ara, in a fleshig plate, is asur to eat with kutach, meaning there's a difference between nisbashel and tzli, that bish Bishul, the dagim are not going to be mekabel that much tam. It's only through the medium of the water that it's being nispashal in that the dagim are mekabel tam. But if you roast it on a fleshig spit, on a fleshig grill, so then it's mekabel a much stronger tam, and therefore in such a case naparnat would be aser. And then you have the sheet of the Rashba and the Ran that whether it's alu, whether it's nispashlu, whether it's nitzlu, it's all mutter, all naparnat is going to be mutter no matter what kind of infusion of taste, whether it was just by being put on a plate or being cooked in a fleshig pot or being roasted on a fleshig grill, it doesn't make a difference. It would all be considered not bar not. Now the Rashi writes that we don't have to worry that some of the shamnunis of the basar is on the plate or is on the pot that you have the fleshig plate or the fleshig pot, and that the dagim are balea directly from the basar, because Rashi says people clean their utensils. Stam kelim, you assume, are clean, and therefore, because it's disgusting not to be clean, and therefore you assume that the fish only got the tam that was absorbed in the kli, but not the actual tam from actual basar. And based on that, the Rashba writes in Taras Abayis HaAruch that if you don't clean out your pots really well, you don't clean out your plates really well, then before you cook fish on it, then it's going to be asur to eat with kutach, unless you're convinced that you have shishim to be mevatelit. Okay, so but fundamentally, what do we have? Not bar nat, we have a fundamental machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. Rav says not bar nat is asur, Shmuel says not bar nat is mutter. Vahad Rav lav beferushit. Rav's statement that not bar nat is asur was actually not a statement. He never said it explicitly. Ela michlola itmar. We were only able to derive it based on the ma'isa shahaya. The Rav ikla lebe Rav Simon bar Chia barberi. Rav went to Rav Simon bar Chia, his grandson, chash be'inav, and Rav had a problem with his eyes. He had an ailment, an ache in his eyes. So Abdullah Shiafa, they made him some sort of eye ointment to help him out. So b'tza'a in a plate. I mean, they used a kli to prepare this ointment. Basar hachi, ramalei bishul begava. And afterwards, they made him food in that very same plate. So taima deshaifa. Rav sensed in the food that they made him the taste of the eye ointment that was previously cooked in that plate. Amar yav taima kulei hai. He says, wow, that eye ointment is pretty strong. It gave such a strong tam into the plate that I'm able to taste it in the food that I'm eating afterwards. So someone who heard Rav make that comment, assumed that Rav is saying that whenever you have something nosing tam into a plate, it will then be nosing tam into whatever's put in that plate afterwards, and that's not bar nat. So you see that Rav is choshesh for a tam sheni, but says the Rav Elohi, that is not at all a raya that Rav holds. Not bar nat is aser. Shaini hasam do nafish merara tfei. That type of refuah that they made for him had very unique ingredients. It was very, very bitter, and therefore the tam is could be sensed in a food that was subsequently put into that plate. But that's not a raya that he always holds. That tam that's nivla b'ka'ara is going to come out into the next food, and you're going to be able to sense it in the next food. So the Gemara is trying to say that you cannot prove from that Maisa what Rav actually holds. But the Tosfos points out, Rav in fact does hold what we thought he holds. Meaning, we said, Rav holds not bar nat as usher. How do I know Rav holds not bar nat as usher? We thought it was from this Maisa. Says Gemara, if it's from this Maisa, that is not a good Raya. But Tosfos says, it doesn't change the fact that Rav does in fact hold not bar nat as usher. Just because it's not a Raya from this Maisa, it doesn't mean that it's not true. Velohi over here doesn't mean it's not true. Velohi means that it's not correct to assume that you only got it michlala from this Maisa. Now the Ramban raises the question what the Raya even is from Rav. The Tav of the Mashcha is sensed in the Tavshil that was put in that Ka'ara. That's a Tam Sheni. That's not the same thing as Dagim Sha'alu or Nispashlu in a Fleshik Pat. Over there the Tam is really a Tam Shlishi, because the Tam of the Basar was Nivla in the Ka'ara, and from there went to the Dagim, and from there to the Chalav and the Kutach. Meaning the problem is not at the stage where you're eating the dagim. The dagim is could have tam basa. That's not going to be a problem. The only problem is when you're choshish at that time is going to mix in with the tam of the chalav and the kutach. The story of Rav, the tam of the mashcha was nivl b'ka'ara, and from there to the tavshil. Good, so that tavshil had a tam, but there's no, it wasn't being mixed with something else where that tam. Adam had to now transfer to something else. So what's the Dimyon even? So the Ramban suggests that this Mashcha was made from something that was not particularly bitter, but it had something Mar Mu'urav Ba. It had something bitter mixed in it. So it also had a Tam Shlishi, because the Tam of the Marirus went through the Tarovas to the Mashcha, from the Mashcha to the Ka'ara, and from there to the Tafshil. Meaning the Mashcha itself only got the bitter taste from something else that it got Tam from in advance. That's how the Ramban suggests. Tosa Rash says differently, that the Mashcha that they prepared for Rav was cold. And the Raya of the Gemara was that if even a cold Mashcha could give Tam to the sense, to the point that that two steps removed you still sense it, so then three steps removed when you're dealing with heat has to be able to transfer as well. And neither of those are exact, though. I mean, the first Taretz, Ramban's Taretz, it's quite a Nukimta that we're assuming that the Mariris came from somewhere else, and there's a third Tam the Gemara didn't tell us about. And the next one is assuming that if Tam could transfer twice with cold and necessarily could transfer three times with heat, very difficult. The Ran suggests that the Gemara is not proving from this Maisa that happened with Rav because it's exactly the same. No, the Gemara is just saying that from the fact that Rav is saying he can still taste the Mashcha, he wasn't saying it for nothing. Meaning, Rav would never say that the Lashon of the Rambam in the second paragraph of Hilchos Deos, Amru al Rav, Talmud Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Lo Sach Sicha Betela Kol Yama. That they say about Rav, the Talmud of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that he was never Sach Sicha Betela. So Rav would never just say, this tastes bitter. He wasn't just saying it for kicks. When Rav said something, he had to mean something lahalacha. And therefore, he meant to say that this is a Tam Gomor. And therefore, what's L'may Nafkamina? If you're going to mix it with another Tavshil, it will have the koach to aser. So when the Gemara says that it's not a raya because a mashcha is more bitter, it doesn't mean to say that the raya is gone from Rav. The raya is still there because Rav was not saying something for nothing. He was teaching halacha. What the Gemara means is to be docha Rav itself and say that maybe Rav is inaccurate because you can't bring a raya from mashcha to other situations because mashcha is more bitter. But below he is not that Rav didn't mean it. It's that maybe Rav's incorrect. Maybe Rav's tushtel himself. But Rav must have meant it, says the Ran, because there's no way Rav would have said something that was just stam a comment. Why is it that sichas chulin shel tamid chacham tzrichin limud? Because the lo sach sichas chulin. He doesn't say a sichas chulin. Everything he says has some, even what sounds like a sichas chulin, has some halachic import. And then Gemara tells another ma'aser relating to Naparnat. Rav Elazar of Akoyim Kamei Demar Shmuel. Rav Elazar was standing in front of Shmuel and he was helping him with the meal. Aitu l'kamei, they brought in front of Shmuel dogim sha'alu b'kara. They brought hot fish that was on a fleshig plate, the ka'achil b'kutach. And Shmuel was eating it together with kutach. Right? This makes sense. Shmuel holds Naparnat is mutter, so Shmuel was eating it. Yoiv lei, but they gave, Shmuel tried to give Rav Elazar some of this fish that was cooked in a fleshik pot or was put on a fleshik plate to eat together with kutach v'lo achil. Rabbi Elazar was the Talmud of Rav, so he wasn't going to eat something that was naparnat. So amalei. So Shmuel said to Rabbi Elazar, le'rabach yihivi leva achil. You should know, I gave Rav when he visited me. I also gave him naparnat. He was okay with it. He ate from it. V'adlo achal. You're firmer than your own Rebbe. You're not going to eat from it. So this was very stunning for Rabbi Elazar to hear. His Rebbe ate from it. Rav was the one who's machmir but naparnat. How in the world can my Rebbe have eaten from it? But Shmuel told me that my Rebbe ate from it. So Asal Kameh Rav, Rav Elazar came to Rav and he told him what happened. Shmuel served me something that was not parnat and he wanted me to mix it with kutach and he told me you did it. So Rav Elazar asked Rav, did you change your mind about your stance on Naparnat? Do you now hold that Naparnat is mutter? Amarlei. So Rav responded, "Chasle lezari da abba baraba delisvile midi delosvirili velosvirili." How could Shmuel do this? Shmuel was the son of a great man of Abba Baraba, and now he's going to feed me something that I hold as asu b'achila? No way! I never changed my mind. Whatever he told you was above my. It never happened. I never changed my mind.
very difficult to understand. The Ritva raises the question, so how could Shmuel say that it happened? Meaning Shmuel was not a dishonest person. So he says, Shmuel was magzim b'dvarav. He spoke b'loshon guzma. Chazal tell us that divru chachamim b'loshon guzma, that they speak in exaggerations. So he was speaking in exaggeration. And he said, how could you not eat? Even your Rebbe, if he was here, he would eat from it, because I would be able to convince him that I'm right. But he wasn't saying that it actually happened. Rav Lazar misunderstood. He thought he was saying that it actually happened. But Shmuel was just trying to say how convinced he was that he was correct. Another maaser relating to this, Rav Huna Rav Chia Bar Ashi, Havu Yasvi Chad Bahaygisa Demabra Sura, V'Chad Bahaygisa Demabra, that Rav Huna and Rav Chia Bar Ashi were sitting each one on a different side of a bridge that passed over the river that led to Sura. Lamar Aitule, one of the Chachamim, they brought him Dagim Sha'alu Bakara. They brought him fish that was either cooked in a fleshic pot, according to some Rishonim, or put on a fleshic plate, right, according to other Rishonim, v'achal b'kutach, and he ate this not-bar-not fish together with kutach, with a milchik dish. Lamar aitulei te'enim fa'anavim b'tocha su'uda v'achal v'lo baruch. The other one, they brought figs and they brought grapes in the middle of a meal, and he didn't say a bracha on it. He just ate it without saying any bracha. So mar amar le l'chavrei, one of them said to the other one, yasma, you yasum, you orphan, meaning you're orphaned of knowledge. Avad rabachachi, would your Rebbe do such a thing? Omar amar le l'chavrei, yasma, avad rabachachi, would your Rebbe do such a thing? Meaning each one criticized the other one. They thought that the other one's behavior was totally incorrect. The Chassam Sofer writes in a drasha that a Talmud that's not Omer al Das Rabbo is called a Yasom Bechaye Rabbo. He's considered to be an orphan in his Rebbe's lifetime. Just like you have such a thing as an Almana Bechaye Baila, a woman whose husband goes away, so her husband's alive, but she's like an Almana. So you have a Yasom Bechaye, someone who doesn't have a relationship with his parents would be a Yasom Bechaye Aviv. But a Rebbe is like a father, so a Yasum B'chai Rabbo, not if he doesn't have a relationship with his Rebbe, but if he doesn't get it, if he doesn't follow what his Rebbe is teaching him. And that's what it means. So in the Chidush Chassam Sofer, Maseches Ksubos, he explains the Lashon a little bit. He says, the right side of the brain is the place of Chachma. The left side of the brain, he says, is the place of Bina. The Tziruf of both of them creates Das, that Chachma and Bina creates das in a person's heart, and since that's the case, so the two parts of the brain are called the av and the aim. The das is considered the ben as far as the av and the aim are concerned. So someone who lacks das shows that he lacks chachma bina, which are the av and the aim, meaning he must be lacking one of the ingredients, either chachma or bina. So that's why he's a yasom b'chaye rabbo. That his Rebbe's there, but he's a yasom because he hasn't incorporated one either the av or the aim into his personality. So anyway, there were these two behaviors. One of them was eating not banat teira together with they were eating the fish that absorbed the fleshik tam from the plate together with milk, and the other one was not saying brachas in the middle of a meal on figs and on grapes. So mar amar leil chavrei, one of them, the one who was eating the kutach with the fish, said anak shmul sirli, it's no problem. I hold like shmul, not banat teira is totally mutter. Umar amar leil chavrei, and the one that was eating the figs and the grapes in the middle of the meal said, "Anak Rabbi Chia Svirli, I hold like Rabbi Chia. The Tani Rabbi Chia, pas poteres kol mine machel, yain poter kol mine mashkin. That just like if you eat bread, you don't have to say bracha on any of the food during a meal. If you drink wine, that poters all drinks in the meal. So I already ate bread, and therefore I don't have to say a bracha on any of the food that I'm going to be eating. There is discussion to what extent yain." Paters call me Neimashkin. There's a chub in the Minchas Yitzchak and Chelches and in Yates. Someone asked him the Minigin Tfutzos Yisrael that on Smachos and on that they make on Shabbos. One person says Kiddush. A lot of people yotze the Kiddush from that person, and they just take a mashu from the wine, and then they drink all sorts of Shar Mashkin without a bracha. I'll smach that the Yayin Pater Shar Mashkin. Is that can you be someich on that? Or is it better not to be towing from the Yayin of Kiddush at all, because the Ti'imah is not Ma'akev, and that way they'll be able to say their own bracha on Shar Mashkin, meaning they never said the bracha on the wine. They heard the bracha on the wine. They were towing just a tiny drop. They didn't even really drink wine. So he quotes from the Sefer Derech HaChayim that if a person says Kiddush on wine and he doesn't taste from it, let's say others taste from it, the person who actually said the Kiddush doesn't taste, he still has to say a bracha on Shar Mashkin, even though those mashkim were in front of him at the time that he said the bracha on the wine, because the tam yayin patters shar mashkim is because all mashkim are tafel to the yayin. But if he didn't drink from the wine, then it's not going to help that all mashkim are patter are tafel to the yayin. So he says, sounds min chasisra, it sounds from this Derech Chaim that the Mishnah Berurah learns out what he writes in Simon Kuf Ayin Dalet, that if a person is Mekadesh Al Yayin and he's Motzi other people with his bracha and they don't taste from the Kos Shel Kiddush, they need to make a bracha on Shar Mashkim even during the meal, even though they had it in front of them at the time of the bracha. And the Shar Tzion writes that's what emerges from the Derech HaChaim in Hilchos Kiddush. So the Bir Halacha writes that even though the Halacha we paskin, that even if you're not koveh to be shosei yayin afterwards, it works to pater shar mashkin when they're in front of you b'shas bracha. He says you should only be making if you actually drank a melo lugmav. That if you only if you actually drank a melo lugmav of wine. So it turns out that it's very questionable that when a person wants to use yayin tapater, you actually have to drink yayin. You have to say you could be yotze the bracha from the mekadesh, but you actually have to drink yayin malo lugmav in order to avoid any situation of safek brachos. Okay, vayter in the gemara. We still got to get to today's daf. Amar Chizkiyah mishum Abaye. So Chizkiyah says in the name of Abaye in terms of the halacha of nat parnat dagim. If you have fish that was hot fish on a fleshic plate, you're allowed to eat that fish with kutach. It's permissible to eat it with a milchig dish. So it sounds like it sounds like it's totally mutter. Poskim write not bar not is mutter. It's dafka if at the point of the tam sheni there was no isser yet, like dagam sha'alu bekara. But all the rishonim point out that if it's a tam isser that's transferring from one place to the other, then it's going to even be afilu elef pavim. Not bar not. It's always going to be asr. So if you have tam chazer that was put into the plate and then was put into the fish and then the fish into something else and that, and so that would keep going. That tam would keep transferring. So the question is, why the difference? Why is it that not barnat teira is different than not barnat di isura? So there are a couple of basic approaches in the Rishonim for that. The Rashba writes in Taurus Abayis, because the tam kalush is not strong enough, a not barnat is a weakened tam, and it's not strong enough to create an isser. If an isser is already there, so that isser could keep on passing on from one tam to the next. But if it's once it's weakened, it can't. A new isser cannot be created with a tam kalush. The smak, however, writes that anything that's asr kishnosin tam rishon, the chaticha is mekabel, it becomes nasis nevela, and therefore, even though it's a tam kalush by naparnati isura, when the first isser, when the first chazer gave tam into that first thing that it gave tam into, that entire thing became a chaticha nasis nevela. It all became a chefza shel isser. So the tam of the chazer might be kalush after a while, but it doesn't matter. The whole thing that it originally gave tam into became the isser, as opposed to you don't say chaticha nasis chalav, chaticha nasis basar, right? If you have a fleshik tam that went into a par of a food, so you don't say, oh, now the whole par of a food is flesh, it doesn't all become meat. We have chaticha nasis nevela, not chaticha nasis basar. But anyway, so the Gemara tells us, not parnat teira is mutter. And the Gemara tells us, tenon shechatocho b'sakin shechatoch b'basar, if you have a radish that was cut with a knife that you had previously cut meat with, asur la'okhla b'kutach. You're not allowed to eat that radish with milchi. Rashi gives two explanations why not. First of all, Rashi says you have to be choshish that on the knife there's some shamnunis of basar. There's basar itself, and the tam of that basar is going to get into the radish. Second of all, Rashi says even if not for the shamnunis of basar on the knife, the radish is very sharp. It's a davar charif. The duchka de sakina, the pressure of the knife in combination with the fact that you're cutting something that's a davar charif, is able to transfer tam even from a clean knife into the davar charif. So that's what we're assuming, that you cut the radish with the knife, even if the knife was clean, which the Gemara never assumes. We always assume knives, and even though we assume plates and pots, they cleaned out really well. Knives, we assume that there was always some shanunis along the edges of a knife, and that's the assumption of Shulchan Aruch as well. Contemporary poskim debate that issue. Should we still follow all the halachas in Shulchan Aruch that it says about knives? If you open up your knife drawer and you look at the knives in your house, chances are that they're all clean. clean, that they don't have. So some post-Gemara are mechalik between serrated knives, where it's something might really get caught between the grooves, versus smoother knives, where things don't get caught between anything. And some are just totally makel, that they're totally clean. But anyway, Rashi gives these two reasons. Rishonim point out it could be that that the first reason is not independent of the second reason, but the second reason is independent of the first reason. Meaning, even if there is no basar on the knife, you still have the davar charif issue. The hani mili, this whole idea is only tznon da agav chorfei bala. It's only by a radish, because it's charif, it's balea, the time of the basar, aval kishus. But if you have cucumbers, let's say garil be paskei va'achil, so then you can just clean off the knife and eat it, and it's no problem. You're allowed to eat the food that you ate with kutach. Kilchi delifta, if you cut with a fleshig knife stalks of lefes, so shari, that's mutter. Lefes is turnip, so you cut stalks of turnip, that's mutter to eat with kutach, because the tam of the lefes is very sweet, and the shamnunus of the basar, the tam of whatever basar shamnunus you have, is not going to be recognizable in the lefes. But the silka, if you cut beets with it, asiri, it's going to be asir to eat with kutach, because that's like a radish that's cut with a fleshig knife, where the tam of the basar is going to get in. The pasapu to lift it, but if you mix the lefes at the time that you're cutting the beets, you mix lefes in there, so you cut one chaticha of lefes and then a chaticha of beets, and you go back and forth, shaper dummy, then it's okay, then you're allowed to eat the beets with kutach, because the sweetness of the lefes is mevatel the shamnunis from the knife, and it's not going to be no same time into the beets. Okay, now says the Gemara, what if you have a spice dish that's kept in proximity to milchigs or fleshigs? Can you not use it with the other? Are you allowed to put a kad shel melech, a jug of salt, next to a kad of kutach? Are we choshesh that some of the kutach is going to fall into the salt without you realizing it? So you're going to assume the salt is parv, but really it's going to be milchig, because kutach went into that salt, and then you're going to use that salt for your meat. So Amalei, so Rav Nachman responded to Rav Dimi, Aser. Not where this is Aser, we're choshesh that the kutach is going to fall into the salt. This is a problem. In the Isser V'Heter Ha'aruch, he writes that's only by two kadim, one of melech and one of kutach, that are open. But if one of them is closed, then you have to worry that something fell in. If something is closed at the top, it's not shayich for something to fall in. To chalamai, what would be the din about putting vinegar right next to kutach? Are we choshesh over there also that vinegar fell into the kutach? Amalei, shari. That's mutter, we're not choshesh. Why would it be any different? Why would salt be any different than vinegar? If a salt dish I'm choshesh that kutach is going to go into, why am I not choshesh that in a vinegar dish kutach is going to go in? So he responded to him, l'chitechol Allah kora demalcha. Go and measure for me a quart of salt, and if you do that for me, I'll respond to your shayla. Sometimes you have this in Shas, that they say, I'll give you your answer, you have to do something for me first. So the Achronim explained that it wasn't just, bribing them to be able to get their Torah, that, I'm not willing to share my Torah. Adrab, a person has an obligation to share their Torah. Rav Shechter quoted recently, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the introduction to one of the volumes of Dibros Moshe, that a person's responsibility to share his Torah is not just when someone asks, it's even that you have to go and make an effort to try to share your Torah. That's what Moshe writes, why he was publishing his Sfarim, because it's not just when Talmidim come to learn by him, that he has to try to be Marbit's Torah as much as he possibly can. It's just like when a person hears some exciting news, so what makes it so exciting? You want to share it with somebody right away. You want to be able to, that makes it more exciting, that you're able to share it with someone. So if a person is has a real Avas HaTorah, so that's the level of Avas HaTorah a person is supposed to have, that as soon as they hear, they want to share it with someone. They're so excited about Torah. Just last week, when Chulin Kuf Ches, I got like 4 hours of sleep the night before. I'm a big sleeper, so I had 4 hours of sleep. It was very hard to get out of bed sometimes. But it was Chulin Kuf Ches. I was like, I got to get up. Chulin Kuf Ches was so exciting. And I thought, oh, people who actually love Torah, that's for every daf in Shas, that they feel that way. How could I not? That's all the stories about all these Gedolei Yisrael that sleep like nothing and they had no problem getting up to learn, because it's something that was so super exciting. So you want to go share. So that's what's going on over here. Give me Korah de Malcha. If you want to have, they're not saying I'm not willing to share Torah. They're saying if you're going to learn from a Rebbe, you have to have a certain relationship with the Rebbe. There has to be a certain sense of Mor Rabcha Kamar Shemayim. So if you're only going to be Makabelit if you learn properly. That's what Bar Yosef explains in his commentary on Chumash. That's the only way that they'll truly be Makabel if they first view themselves as a Talmud to a Rebbe. And the Rambam Paskins that anything that a Eved does L'Rabbo, a Talmud has to do L'Rabbo. So that's how it creates that Rebbe relationship, that Mara Rav relationship. Anyway, so my time out. So what's Taka B'chilik? Hai Isa Isur Be'enei. Salt, if it falls from the Kutach, if some Kutach falls into the salt, the Isur is still going to be Be'en. It's very recognizable in the salt. It's not going to be Batel. V'hai Leise Isur Be'enei. But if some Kutach falls into vinegar, the Isur is not going to be Be'en. It's going to be totally absorbed and melted into, mixed into the vinegar. You're not going to recognize it. And the Tam is not going to be recognizable either. So it's entirely Batel. So if you then put it in a Tavshil Shel Basar, it's no big deal. It's already butter. Batel. Tosfos points out, even though the Gemara asks putting melech next to kutach, and it's a suffix about putting chometz next to kutach, but a kad shel chalav, you're allowed to put next to a kad shel basar, Tosfos says. I would think that's much worse. Actual chalav next to actual basar says, nah, that everyone's going to be careful about. So no one's going to, that's not going to be a problem for people. Hahu bar gozla, there was a gozal, a bird, meat of a bird, a chicken, let's say, denafel avada dekamcha, that fell into a kad of kutach. So, that's bad. Yeah, you have chicken meat falls right into kutach. Kutach has milachis. So sharia, Rav Chinna Brei D'Rava mi pashronia, Rav Chinna Brei D'Rava mi pashronia said that it's mutter. Amar, not to eat it together, chas shalom, but to take it out, wash it off, and eat it. Meaning it's not baleya any time. Amar Rava, man chakim lemishri kia gavda. Wow, what kind of chacham you have to be matir such a thing? Meaning in general, you don't have to be a chacham to ask or anything. You have to be a chacham in order to be matir. You must have a really good svara that you're very confident in to be matir. So a rabbi mentioned to me recently, he said, I'm a very big believer in koach de'etera, but he said that and he was saying it in the same breath, I don't have time to prepare and really learn through all these halachas very well, but I try to give koach de'etera. I said, that's not koach de'etera, that's just hetera. It's not koach de'etera. Koach de'etera is you learn the sugya really well to the point that you can have the confidence that you really know it. So anyway, Rav Chinna Brei D'Rava mi Pashrunya Kasavar Kiyom Shmuel Meliach Harei Karoteach Hani Meliach Adenu Nechal Machmas Malcho. So who could be Matir? I said Amar Rava Man Chacham Lemishuki Hagavna Ilav Rav Chinna Brei D'Rava mi Pashrunya. Who could be as big a Chacham to be Matir if not for this person? Rav Chinna Brei D'Rava mi Pashrunya. Why? Kasavar Kiyom Shmuel Meliach Harei Karoteach. He also when Shmuel says that Meliach that's only if it's so salty that you can't eat it because of its saltiness. Then we view something that's salty to be like cooked together. Is edible. It's not too salty to eat, and therefore it's not polite to mavliya. Tam, when it's tzonin, when things are cold, it's not going to be able to transfer tam because there's no heat to transfer the tam. But vahani milichai. But that's only if the chicken was raw. Aval tzli, but if it was roasted, bayi klipa. Then you're going to need to cut off a klipa from all around its surface, because then, at least in a klipa, even cold, in a klipa, if it's roasted meat, if it's cooked, then it would absorb some of the milchik tam. V'yispe pile kule aser. And if there are crevices in the meat, then for sure the milk got into those crevices, the whole thing is going to be aser. V'metabel betavlin, and if the basar was spiced, so then it's softened up to the point where it's much easier for blios to happen. Kule aser, then the whole thing is going to be aser. So this whole thing is only when you have a very smooth piece of meat, cold, fall into the kutach, then you can get away with just rinsing it off. But other than that, if it's either hot, or if it's not a smooth piece of meat, or if it's a roasted piece of meat. Now, what does that mean, that it's roasted? So that's also Machlok Rishonim, the Sefer HaTruma, and the Rush assume that roasted means that chai means that it was never cooked, it was never roasted. Roasted means that it was once cooked. The Ramban says, no. Roasted means it's currently hot. It's not about whether it was ever cooked or not cooked, it's about whether there's heat right now. Okay, so that's a discussion in the Rishonim. Vaitu the Gemara. Now, Amram Nachman Shmuel. Kikar Shechata Chalei Basar, Asur Li Achla. If you have a loaf of bread that you cut meat on after you took the meat right off of the grill, right after it was roasted, you're not allowed to eat that bread because of the meat juice that comes out of the meat that's dam, it's really dam, and that's going to be absorbed in the kikar. So the kikar is going to turn all red from the meat juice, that's going to be asur. V'hani mili dismik, that's only if it actually turns red. V'hani mili da avre, and that's also only when the dam goes throughout the entire kikar. V'hani mili da asmche, and that's also only if it's very thick type of juice. Aval klishta, but if it's like very liquidy, less than, but then it's not going to ask. Shmuel sharile lekalbe, Shmuel would give it to his dog. Rav Huna yavle leshame, and Rav Huna would give it to his shamish. Says Mara, well, why are you allowed to do that? Manav shach, he sharile kuli alma shari. If you hold it's motzer for everyone. He asked kuli alma asr. If you hold it's asr for everyone. Shari Rav Huna danine daite. Now Rav Huna thought it was mutter. He just was an istinus, so it was disgusting for him to eat. But people who are less sensitive would eat it. Rava achale vekari lechamer basar. Rava would eat it, and he would say it's meat juice. It's not blood. It's meat juice. It's totally fine. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. You can't put a kli underneath basar while it's roasting in order to gather all the shomen that drips off of the basar while it's roasting, because until all the admumis of the basar is gone, because the dam that's coming off of the basar is going to asr all the shomenunis. How do you know that all the admumis is gone? When you see the meat start smoking, maybe the bottom part of the meat that's close to the coals is already at the point where all the admumis is gone, and therefore it's going to be mala ashan. But that's not a raya, because the upper part of the meat may still have dam in it, so it's still going to cause a problem. Ella amravashi lesle takanta ella mishta beitarte galali milcha. The basar, there's no way to fix that basar to be able to put a kli under it while it's roasting, unless you put two cuts of salt, one on the meat and the second one in the kli that's underneath it. Salt is shoev dam, it draws dam toward it, and that way the dam will go toward the melech in the kli, and the shomen will remain clean from dam. The Rishonim are a little bit bothered by why that works. What about tam of the dam in the shomen? But whatever, we assume that for whatever reason, that putting the salt in will draw all the blood out, and that way, mishafye, and after the roasting is done, you can pour the shomen in the kli, and the dam will be separate from it. Amle Ravacha Breid Ravikal Ravashi Umiyam Shmuel Hachi. Does Shmuel really hold this, that we're not choshesh for the dam that comes from the basar until all the mara admumis is gone? So Vamr Shmuel, didn't Shmuel tell us kikar shechatach ala basar asu liachla, that with the bread, he said if you take the meat off of the grill and you put it on the bread and you cut meat on the bread, you're not allowed to eat it because there might still be dam there. I thought Shmuel holds that it's all mutter once there's no more mara admumis. Now shiny asam dagav duchka de sakina palit. Over there it's different, because since you're cutting it, we assume the duchka de sakina is going to dry out more dam that remains inside the meat, and that's what's going to cause problems for your bread. So according to the Maskana, Shmuel holds the din of the kikar that you cut basar is more chamor than sli la'achar shekala mara admumishabo, because the kikar has the duchka de sakina as well. Okay, Amrav Nachman, dagim va'ofa shemolchon ze im ze. If you have fish and chicken that are salted together, asurin, not allowed to eat them because they're bolea the dam that comes from the ofos. Meaning the fish will be bolea the dam that's coming out of the oaf, and then it will the oaf will reabsorb that tam of the fish that already become asur. So says Mar Hechidami. Well, what's the case exactly? If there are no holes in the kli, then afilu ofos ofos nami asiri. Then even birds with other birds are going to be asur because the dam remains in the kli and will be nivla right back into the birds. Ibukli manukav. Then if the kli has holes in it, so the dam could drip out, afilu dagam ofos nami shari, then everything should be mutter because it's not going to be, but the dam's not going to get back into the chicken or the fish because it's just going to drip down through the holes. Says Mar Li Olam B'Kli Manuka. We're talking about a kli that does have holes in it, and still the it's going to be aser. The Dagim Mishum to Rafu Kramayu Kadmiu Palti, because it has a soft exterior, it's going to be pullate the dam. Va'ofus Kamiti. Birds are a little bit harder, and the meat is a little bit harder. The flesh is harder. Baser Dinaichi Dagim. After the fish are done being pullate, Plate Ofos. The Ofos are still going to be pullate for longer. They're going to be pullate the dam. V'hadr Bliyimine. And the Dagim will be Bolaya from the dam that came out of the ofos, as opposed to when you're malech two chatichos basar together in a kli menukav, so they're going at the same pace. So when they're being polate, they're both being polate, and all of that dam will just drip through the holes. But over here, they're going at a different pace. So the dam that's coming out of the ofos is going to get into the fish because the fish is already done being polate at that point in time. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the story of Rav Mari Bar Rachel.